Your son.
I lost him when he couldn't bring himself to kill her either.
What were their names?
She was Jenny. He's Dwayne.
Wait.
Kim,
Stuart,
and Scott.
Welcome to the Fear Me podcast. This is episode 147.
Yay!
Scott, how's your week been going? It sounds very entertaining.
It's been shitty to crappy.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Okay, yeah. There's a range.
Yeah, I mean it's consistent.
Okay.
Consistency
is key.
But we did, yeah, you know, but last weekend we had a nice run up to, we went up to the Boone area, Boone, North Carolina, and Blowing Rock area, and it was really nice. Saw some live bands and stuff, so that was nice.
Okay, well, yeah. And then you better stop talking, you're making me jealous.
That's my plan.
Hey, we went out by ourselves this weekend, too.
Yes, we did. Yes.
Yes, you no bounced from brewery to brewery.
Yeah,
right?
We went to the Tucker Brewery, which we didn't even know existed, which is where we used to live in Tucker, Georgia, over near Norcross. That was strictly German-style beers, which I think I sent to a beer list, and you're like, yes, I don't want any of those. But it was actually really well done. Awesome place. It was in a office park, which was really kind of odd, but in a way worked out perfectly. Because you weren't really worried about, like, you know, other restaurants and all that kind of stuff. There's tons of parking.
Well, they had a live band.
They didn't have to worry about noise. Everything was closed. Yep. They didn't have to worry about it. And then we went to the Tappan Six, which I will take you to next time. And they have probably a selection of, like, 60 different beers on tap. And then you can also buy a whole selection of different beers in six packs to take home.
Nice.
Because they don't want you actually getting sober at any point during the day.
No. That's a good point.
Yeah.
And also another live band.
Nice. And a mighty fine cheese plate.
Hey, we have a couple of places here. You may have had some open up down there that are like that, but we had one that's called Untapped, I think, or something like that here. It's where when you go into the place, you pay a flat fee and you get an armband. And you go in and they just have taps all over the place.
Wow.
Of all these beers. And you just go around and pour your beers as you want them. And each time you pour your beer, it goes on your armband.
You pour your own beer?
Uh-huh. Yeah, they just got like taps along the walls.
It's like
so
an
forth.
Ice cream place.
Can you actually put your mouth underneath the tap and just let it pour?
Yeah, I guess you probably can. But it probably is more efficient to go ahead and fill your glass.
Okay.
Because you're going to pay the same price, probably.
Wow, that's cool, man.
That sounds like it could get dangerous.
Well, it's cool. I mean, it's got, like, lounge seating all over the place and stuff like that. Well, you have, every three beers, you have to come and re-up your wristband.
Oh. Or you don't have to, like, breathe into a breathalyzer or something?
No, but I have a feeling it's for if you stumble up there to get your wristband re-upped, they're not going to do it.
There's just like a little conveyor belt.
Sir,
just
can you give me your wrist? Can you give me your wrist, sir?
They're just going to push you over and they like lead you out of the place.
Big pile sir, if of you drunk can't people. Hold up your wrist, we can't re-up you.
I don't know that we have any of those around Atlanta, though. We had a friend that was talking about a place called Joystick. Which sounds curiously like a strip club. But it actually supposedly has a lot of video games. And you can go tons of beer and stuff like that. And they've got like old school, like Miss Pac-Man and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Like stand up video games. So you can go.
Gosh, it's like.
play video games and drink beer.
Every 80s teenager's wet dream.
It pretty much is. And I think they even have like electric guitars on the wall if you want to pick up electric guitar and you have no idea how to play it. No, I'm just kidding. Nice. I'm making that part up. But
no air guitar.
So they have like monster truck pulls and stuff like that?
Yeah, exactly, right. Exactly.
All right, so what are y'all drinking, speaking of beer?
Stu, Scott. What you got?
Well, I picked up one that I think we may have done before. I know we've done this brewery before. It's Wild Leap Brewery. Friends of ours in the neighborhood keep beating me over the head about how great this brewery is. Yeah. And they're out of LaGrange, Georgia, and this is the Chance IPA.
Hmm.
It's good. It's not super different than most of the IPAs that I'm tasting from around this area. It tastes a lot like Monday Night Brewery and that sort of thing. It's a little bit more sugary, a little sweeter. But it is good. It's not, and it's not overpowering.
I like it. I mean, it's one of those beers that you can just drink a lot of them in one sitting. What? It's not like so thick.
It's
that
easy drinking beer.
No,
it's
not
easy drinking beer.
Well, that's one of the things that we've, one of the complaints I've had with some of the Wild Leap stuff is that a lot of theirs is like are double IPAs. They do a lot of very strong.
Those are the ones you got me with a couple.
Yeah,
that one time
stuff. You feel like you need a spoon to drink them.
Yeah,
those things will knock you on your ass.
Yeah, and they're usually like 9 to 13%. So this is a 6.2. But it's
reasonable.
It's actually is a very good beer, and they do a good job. It's I think some of their stuff gets a little bit hefty sometimes.
Yeah.
But Wild Leap Brewery is a good one around Georgia. Cool. What do you got?
I am drinking one that I dedicate to you, Stuart.
Oh.
Zero.
It's called Hipster Juice.
Stuart is not a hipster.
Sorry, okay. Folks. Sorry. The brothers love to call Stuart the hipster, but he's not a hipster at all.
Is it my beard oil?
It must be. It must be your beard oil. And
my PBR.
No, yeah, exactly. I mean, come on. This is from Lost Province Brewery out of Boone, North Carolina. Like I said, it's called Hipster Juice. It's a New England IPA. And it's really good. I have gotten to the point where I'm getting a little tired of New England IPAs because they're just way too sweet.
Wow.
But this one is its sweetness has been kept in moderation, which is nice.
Which is not how you're going to treat them.
No. This guy's about gone. But no, it is a very good. It's a 6.6 ABV. Very tasty. I would definitely drink it again. And I think again. And then maybe again.
Just tonight.
And again.
Okay.
Yes. So anyway, hats off to Hipster Juice from Lost Province.
All right.
Okay.
We're going to...
Or Beanie Off.
Weirdo.
Stu, where's your beanie? Did you wear your beanie tonight?
I'm cutting everything you just said out of the podcast.
That's just wrong.
Yeah.
Just
anyways, wrong. Kim, off to you.
We're going to cover Fear the Walking Dead, Season 5, Episode 4, Skidmark. If I may say so, first of all, it was a big skidmark on the entire series. Worst episode ever written. Enough said. Let's move on to next week.
I don't know if you can say it's the worst episode ever written for Fear.
Yes, I can.
Yeah, I think I can.
I think Coleman Domingo did not direct this one, did he?
No.
Good for him on that, I guess.
Thank God.
But yeah, this was kind of a continuation of what we were getting last week with a little dollop of I can't believe that just happened.
Well, I mean, geez, the whole episode was built around a visual gimmick, which was having walkers walk into propeller blades.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was just all built to that. And I was just like, wow, that is just, it's so lame. I mean, it's so... You know one thing that's happened here, guys, that I went back and was looking to see, you know, like at the directors and the writers and so forth of the episodes to try to get a idea of what's missing, and it's Evan Goldberg.
Oh, really?
Evan Goldberg, you know, the one who he wrote last season, almost all the episodes, and he did The Preacher and so forth with Seth Rogen. He's not writing this year.
Hmm.
Is he not?
No.
What, news lady? Do you know that?
I did not know that.
Okay. So, see, I always got to take what Scott says with a grain of salt.
All right, go back and look. IMDb.
Okay, okay.
Roll with it.
Everybody's listening to the podcast?
Mm-hmm.
You got to fact check, Scott.
Yep, please do. So I mean, I think that makes sense. They need to slide him back in there again because the plot lines are pitiful in this right now.
It is shockingly disappointing compared to last season. Everything was so promising last season, and then coming into this one, there is a lot of really campy, kind of cheesy stuff.
This was an insult.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a series of things that were just like, okay, now there's a whole bunch of kids. Like, okay, on its face, okay, that's fine. But it was hard to believe that the kids that we were dealing with themselves were able to go under the radar of this other lady that's dealing with the nuclear site. And then you have a whole other series of kids. Okay, well, then they're helping put up the other walkers, I guess. But why is it that we only keep running into these same kids? Yes,
mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, I was going to say, I mean, you never see the other kids. It's only the brother, you know, that the three. Trio.
Yeah. And even at the start of the episode, they're all worried about this plan that they have to send the one kid in.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And they're only
in this discussion.
Yeah, they're not. They're on their own dealing with this until the helicopter shows up. And then it's like, oh, yeah, by the way, we've got like 10 other kids. It's like, what? That was odd. Yes, like you said, the airplane grinder thing, the whole setup to that was like, really?
That was just a homage to Indiana.
Well, from the start of it, when like Daniel, Sarah opens up the door for Daniel to get in on the side where all the walkers are coming in. You're like, why are you opening the freaking door there?
Just run around to the other side.
And then he gets under the truck
and stops,
and just stops there. And he hangs out there the entire time while Strand's like, hey.
It was so bad.
Yeah, it was really amateur.
It was so obvious, you know. Even if they're coming up, you're going to run to the other side of the truck.
Yeah.
And what happens if you get on the other side of the truck and you can't get the door open? You climb on top,
or you go to Strand's truck.
Right, but
he had plenty of time to get out of that situation.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he wasted the airplane. Essentially, which we didn't even realize until it gets explained. Well, I can't put it back together now.
Exactly.
That it's wasted. Like, why? It wasn't needed to waste it. Like, it was ridiculous. I mean, it was trying to show, okay, some sacrifice from Strand to try and make up for everything that he had done to Daniel.
He could have done that by just arriving at the last moment in a truck and picking Daniel up.
Yeah, there was a lot of poor
stuff. It was a gimmick. Someone was sitting around the writer room and they said, man, wouldn't it be funny as hell if we had a plane and we could grind up walkers in that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and here's the other one dealing with the plane. So they held on to that little Prince storybook this entire time just to throw that one line in about, well, maybe we could fix the plane. Like they did in The Little Prince that we've been holding on for the past three seasons, this little book.
Yep. Yep. I was actually fascinated by that part. That was really great.
Are you kidding me?
No, he was not.
Okay, good.
Yeah, he's being very, very sarcastic.
Now, I mean, I will say this. I did...
Daniel knew Charlie was in the back of the car? Come on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was okay with the Daniel and Charlie stuff, but I do have to say this. The music that Daniel was listening to, that does not seem like Daniel music to me at all.
Charlie.
The old blues music?
Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry. That was just, come on. Really? I agree. This guy was, he was a general in Central America somewhere. He was like an executioner stuff, and he got off on blues. Really? I mean,
I'm not.
That one wasn't too far-fetched.
That one is okay to me.
Because I don't because things like that I don't think necessarily have to be reflected by the stereotype of the character. You know, I mean, things like that, like, you know, if he was all of a sudden into punk music,
I think that
would have been a little weird.
I'm giving it a two thumbs down. Okay. I thought it was stupid.
Okay.
I think people from that generation would definitely be more in tune with the blues and jazz.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that. Charlie, I was a little surprised at.
Even in South America, yeah.
Right. Well, not only that, I mean, it's not the most popular music. To run into two characters who run into each other in the apocalypse years after it started, and they're both like the same music.
Or she was familiar with it, at least.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, no, I think yeah, it's a little it's much more unbelievable that the girl would recognize that music than he would.
But that being said, I was really impressed that the girl knew who that was, because at that age, I was also really into the blues. I'll just say that.
Right. Okay.
I really was. Billie Holiday is still one of my favorite. Yeah. Okay. Moving
that was
on.
More obscure than Billie Holiday.
No, it certainly was, but I'm just saying
much
she was still
obscure.
One of my favorites. Yeah. I studied it in school, in high school even.
Okay, great. Perfect. I totally believe you. Hey, you guys ever seen a calendar without a year on it?
Or day?
Yeah.
Day of the week?
Yeah,
it didn't have the day of the week on it either.
No. Also, let me ask you this. Where do you guys think they are in Texas?
Where? Hell if
I
know.
What part of Texas do you think?
Clue.
I don't know. I mean, I would say probably West Texas, a little bit more West Texas, but I don't know.
I was thinking East Texas, like east of Houston.
There's a lot of...
Near Louisiana, I mean.
There's a lot of open areas in Texas that don't have a lot in it, so they could be pretty much anywhere.
Right. But I mean, based on what we've seen with where our characters are in Mississippi and Alabama and stuff like that, right? You would think they're in East Texas, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Why? Do you know something different?
Yeah, they're in El Paso.
How do you know that?
Daniel's map.
Mm, okay.
When Charlie steals it to take a look at it, you know, at the sites he was going through, I actually froze it on the TV and saw that it was an El Paso map.
So isn't that near Corpus Christi? That's like south?
No, it's completely west.
Yeah. That's where I would have...
It's west of the border.
Now I have to look at this.
Uh-huh.
West of the border of Texas. What does that mean?
Yep. West of... It is at the border of Texas to the west. It's near...
The west side of Texas.
Yep. All the way out there.
Well, if you go from one end of Texas to the other end of Texas, there's not a huge variety of landscape and vegetation.
It's near New Mexico.
It's very similar.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Although, could they be all the way out there?
But there are areas that have a little bit more trees and stuff like that, too.
Maybe,
a little bit more forested.
Maybe they... are they the ones that flew there? No.
Yeah.
No. No, they flew from there.
Well, it depends on which group you're talking about.
Well, because Strand is the one that's in El Paso with Daniel.
Yeah.
So they had to have flown from there.
Yes, they flew from there.
Yeah.
Right,
and I can see those guys being in El Paso. Okay.
Because at first I was going to say, yeah, maybe they flew out to El Paso, but that's not the case. It's the other way around.
Oh,
they
flew
from El Paso.
I was thinking San Antonio.
Were you thinking it was harder to believe that they were out in West Texas versus East Texas?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why? Why were you thinking?
That's a long way.
Yeah, it is.
That is a long way.
I know. I mean, it's a long. It's a long way from Virginia to Alabama.
No doubt. But we spent all this time, you know, with our gang around East Texas and Louisiana and Mississippi and stuff. And all of a sudden, they're all the way on the other side of Texas.
Well, they wanted to avoid Dallas and Houston area. That place, that kind of sucks.
You had to go through that first.
Yeah, I know. It's well, you can go around it.
No, you got to go through Fort Worth. So, yeah, it's kind of hard to go around.
But...
sorry.
No,
we don't know where our other group is that met up with Dwight.
I did it.
We don't know where the other group is that met up with Dwight because they flew somewhere.
Yes.
And they're not close to the original group.
Right. But I'm assuming they're back towards the East Texas again.
I would hope so if Dwight is meeting up with them.
But one other thing that's very close to El Paso is Fort Bliss, Texas. The huge army base. That's right next to that. That may have something to do with, you know, the group that's around there, whatever.
Gotcha.
White Sands, New Mexico's around there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, we got to see a breakdown of the Guts gimmick again. I mean, I kind of laughed because, the Guts broke and then they started following them. And I was like, Jesus, man, that would be happening everywhere. That stuff rots.
Well, first of all, we've got the guy in the uniform again that does not spot the kids, but they spot him. Hello, are you kidding me?
What is he carrying around? They're always carrying around two cases or something.
I don't know. I
have no idea.
I have no idea. but it was just stupid.
Yeah, I wasn't. I don't think I was really paying attention to what he was carrying around, other than the fact that he had like a gun or something.
I mean, he beat down the walkers that were beyond the gut fence, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And he doesn't go any further towards the gut fence.
And this is after the fact when Dylan was telling them that no, it wasn't our people that had been cutting through them, and then they find that they see that guy.
Right.
Because
right.
They find out that it was that it's not just them that are breaking through some of their, what do they call them, growlers?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Which would be handy because they might have beer.
Very handy.
They might have beer on them.
We could go to growler time.
Yes. No, but for the kids to hide in the bushes right next to the gut fence.
Mm-hmm.
And the growls of the growlers to not alert the guy that was just down the road.
He was fighting them. So he was already fighting through some of them.
I know, it's
but then
so
all of a sudden
stupid.
He was gone, so I don't know what that was. That
well, he picked up his cases and started walking away, and then he heard them because I guess the radio squawked.
Yeah,
Dylan was trying to talk to him or whatever, and he heard them and turned around. I guess, but I guess he just decided it was
dismissed
it was a loon.
Totally dismissed it. Ugh, so stupid.
But then the chopper shows up, which the chopper was probably just him, like, taking off and going back to their spot.
Well, he said that, you know, the kids said that they'd only seen two guys. So they were probably, I mean, I'm just speculating maybe they're down there taking samples or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, it's a mystery. I'm mildly interested in finding out what that's about.
It may account for the arsenal of Daniel's having to go around and disarm all over the place, since this guy is like leaving guns everywhere.
That had to do with whoever he took over the warehouse.
No, I understand that, but he had a lot of large weapons to be leaving within places to kill people.
Right. Yeah, they may have come from like Fort Bliss or something like that.
So he had.
But what the heck? First of all, oh, that storyline with Daniel.
First of all,
storyline with Daniel.
With him taking over for this guy who's actually trying to kill everybody and leaving everything on the shelves.
Totally parallels the storyline that we got with Morgan and all those guys from last season, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they've got the trucker guy who's gathering supplies. That one guy is giving out supplies to help people. The other guy is hoarding supplies. What the fuck? Are you kidding me?
Well, this is different.
Stupid.
I mean, this whoever was doing this was, I guess, baiting people to come in there and setting traps for them to kill them. But why? That's what I don't get. Yeah, it doesn't
why?
Make it. Daniel acts like it's, you know, they, or let's just say the writers act like we should understand what's going on there.
Yeah, we don't.
And
sorry.
It doesn't make any sense to me at all. I can't figure out why would somebody be sabotaging places so that no one could get to the goodies?
The idea is that he's defending from anybody that might be searching out stuff. So he's killing off anybody that's alive, honestly.
So is he just really hoarding all that stuff for himself, though?
Yes, yeah. So he's hoarding everything for himself.
Whoever the guy was, he's gone now.
Yeah.
Am I to take it that Daniel said he didn't kill the guy?
Yeah.
Because he said he didn't kill anybody,
he said he
right?
inherited it from the guy who left it.
So, but it's kind of a question mark as to how he inherited it.
Right,
so
right.
So I don't think they answer that.
Well, there's also one other big stickler for me in this episode, and that's the fact that we get reintroduced to Daniel, and then he's gone again.
Yes, sir. Hello.
I mean, are you kidding me?
Exactly. That's what I was getting ready to say. You took the words out of my mouth. Where is he going? Who does he have a meeting with? And why do we care?
Yeah, I mean, that's your third question there is the ringer. It's a shame because I actually kind of liked Daniel in this episode, to tell you the truth. I kind of like some of his interactions with Charlie, and some of his stuff with Strand. I thought was, you know, at the end was really nice. But you bring this character back in and then you send him packing at the end of the episode. You know,
and nobody questions him. Like, where are you going? When are you coming back? It's like
everybody's dancing around. Everybody in these episodes, and that's, you know what, Kim, you just hit on a real central point to this. Every one of these episodes, everybody is dancing around asking questions, mm-hmm. asking particular questions. You know, why is no one demanding the kids say, hey, what the hell is going on around here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why does no one ask directly to Daniel, how did you get all this stuff? You know, these characters, they just dance around direct questions.
Well, there's no natural interaction between people.
No.
You know,
no.
It's everybody's a separate character. There's no, mm-hmm. there's no normal interaction.
Very two-dimensional characters, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you get
their way around that two-dimensionality is by making them humorous sometimes instead of making them human.
Yeah.
You know, and actually mm-hmm. interacting in an emotional mm-hmm. way over things.
Yeah.
So they do float in and out of each other's lives without any real consequence.
Right.
Exactly.
Which is not how people interact with each other.
Does Wendell have any substance at all?
No. Not other this than season.
He's in a wheelchair?
Not this season.
Sarah's kind of the same way.
Yeah.
She just
Sarah at least has some gimmicky lines or something.
Well, she spouts off one-liners. That's it. And that's kind of the two of them are kind of
she's
one character.
She's the comic foil. But Wendell doesn't even have that. Wendell's her foil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's not much to him.
Yeah,
they're like one character though. They come mm-hmm. together. You don't really deal with them on a one-on-one basis. So,
good point.
They're just kind of comic relief at this point.
Well, if you have two people making up one character, it's still a very shallow character.
Yes, although the one-liners are still funny.
They are. I get you, I'm not going to argue with you on that, but I still just don't see where Wendell has anything. You know, even the thing when Strand was feeling down and they were like, come on, let's go look for the gauges, you know, they got to be around here in this warehouse, something like that, you know, and Wendell says, you're going to make me look for them alone? I would so much like Wendell to say something like, you know, I can't reach the top shelf.
Yeah.
You know, just something funnier.
Yes.
That guy doesn't even have the humor.
I know.
Very true.
All of last season is gone from these characters.
Oh, I know. Exactly. I mean, they're...
And speaking of absent characters, we don't have Dwight. Like, we waited so long to get Dwight. We get him for one episode, and then he's gone?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's a good point. Where the hell was he?
We didn't see any of those guys.
Yeah, those three are still...
Well, we saw Morgan...
Yeah, but we didn't see June or John.
Right. Okay, that's fine. That's happened all the time, though. I mean, we don't see him for an episode or something like that.
Yeah. I know, but God, like, we waited so long.
They'll be back. They'll be back next week.
So disappointing.
Maybe. It's going to be a lot about Al next week.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, that's true. Which is good. Al's one character I want to get back on the show.
Yeah.
Well, you know why? Al asks questions.
Well, and
ask direct questions,
and you're hoping that they're going to do something more with Al than they've done already in the season, which was just Al's like, "Oh, I filmed that guy.
Yeah,
here's a tape.
Yeah. I'm a reporter. I'm going to go look whether it's good weather or not.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, but there's so much potential with that character.
Agreed.
And hopefully, and they really built that potential last season. This season, they've not taken advantage of it at all, other than to make her the foil or the damsel in distress, if you want to put it that way.
So far, this season, they've seemed to have cashed in on all of the good stuff that they built up in the last season.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. They're just
kind of the introduction of Emilio Estevez. Yeah. No. Who is it? Emilio.
Yeah, that's right.
Daniel Salazar.
Repo
no,
Man?
No, no, no. Huh?
Repo Man?
Yes, him. No.
Oh.
One of the Sheen boys?
Dwight.
No, Dwight and Daniel. It seems like that's all it's been built around is to bring those characters into it, which is great. I like having those characters in there, even though Daniel's not the most interesting character in the world, but...
You know, next episode, it's going to be Al fight these people, and then the episode after that, it's going to be Dwight fighting with Daniel somewhere else.
I don't want
that. They don't realize that they know each other's same people. And
that's right.
Yeah, I don't want that. I don't like those one episodes.
No,
I don't either. Yeah, it's just like a series of time wasters.
Yep.
Instead of actually moving the story along.
The funny thing is last season, when that season started out, we were really not sure what we were looking at.
Yeah.
We weren't happy, if I remember right. Because you remember, it was all of a sudden we had, you know, all of them on the run. And, you know, and then we got introduced to all these new characters all of a sudden. And we're like, hell, what the hell happened to the show? But by the end of the season, we were really into it. We were digging it.
Yeah.
I don't see this one happening that way.
No, not if it continues the way it is.
I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled to get Dwight's character into the show. I think Dwight's character is one of my favorite characters, to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I really loved him in The Walking Dead when they had him there. But, man, they have got so much work to do.
Yeah. But like you were saying, the situation between Daniel and Charlie, like those interactions were good in this episode. I enjoyed that. That's all I got.
That's the only positive takeaway I could think of.
Oh, no, I shouldn't say that. Morgan's discussion with Alicia when she was right before the helicopter came and stuff.
Right, about his wife and son.
Yeah, I thought that was
that was very touching.
It was nice to have a little flashback of that whole first season.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
And the fact that he said he is Dwayne. His son.
Dwayne.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he said his wife was
Jenny.
And he is Dwayne. So it was like kind of like he was saying he's not dead in his mind.
Yeah, that was really cool. And I think seeing the helicopter take off was kind of exciting for me, just because I know what it could be leading into. But all these kids...
I can feel the excitement coming through your voice right now.
Well, the whole episode just kind of ruined everything for me.
Like,
maybe
we'll get to the end of the season and we'll have Al meet up with Rick.
I mean, that would be awesome.
Oh, that would be incredible.
Yeah.
It's not happening. It's not happening.
Could happen in the movie.
Hopefully it's Crazy Rick, because I know you love Crazy Rick, Scott.
Oh, God. his wrestler hair.
I don't know what you're talking about. Get the camera out of my face.
The kids.
Your people are going down.
The kids that appeared out of nowhere, like Lord of the Flies, was like, that was just another stupid thing for me, because the two kids we already know were, like, basically running for their lives. Right. Nobody's helping them. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this entire group shows up, like, you know, like, Japanese anime poses, like, with their weapons. And then you're like, where were you 5 seconds ago when they were running for their lives?
Have they been shadowing them the whole time?
Yeah.
I mean, have they just been shadowing them everywhere they go? Because they just popped out of the woodwork there, or out of the woods.
They're like trapdoor spiders. They just kind of jumped out of the ground.
That's creepy right there. Yeah, that's some creepy shit.
To know that they're the kids of the people that were trapped at the campsite. That's sad. That's heart-wrenching. Okay, fine.
Really didn't pull any heartstrings for me. I have no feeling about the people at the campsite.
They should have had a couple of the kids with like some walkers in tow by their intestines.
With their parents.
Like they were just walking them around by their intestines.
Yeah. And speaking of that, I don't believe for 1 second
cut their arms off and their jaws.
Exactly.
I don't believe for 1 second that these kids are capable of creating these fences that they're creating.
Well, how is it only kids?
Yeah.
How is it the only people that survived from the camp were the kids?
I know. Like, why? What happened? Where were the kids,
no kids
versus the adults?
Just the adults?
I think it makes no sense. Yeah. All right.
And they managed to trap all the adults in that one cabin? Are you kidding me?
And that one kid's name was Piggy.
Was it? Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't.
No, I'm kidding. No.
Okay, good.
No. It was Big Al.
Lord of the Flies.
Tony with the cannon. Come here, Tony.
So disappointed.
I'm Big Tony.
Big Tony.
So... We don't got much unfortunately, for this episode. Why don't we go ahead and take a break? And then when we come back, we will see if we can find some hits from this episode.
That's going to be hard.
Okay. All right.
Drop me a line, yeah. If I don't go crazy, honey, I'm good. Lose my mind, yeah. When you get worried, I say, sit down and drop me a line. If I don't go crazy, honey, I'm good to lose my mind.
All right, we're back. Hey, you know what? I want to mention one thing. You know, we're talking about the weakness of the writing and so forth for this season and stuff. I tell you what, I'm worried that they're going to write themselves out of existence the way this is going. Because, I mean, I'm really struggling on Sunday nights to get excited to watch this show.
I'm more excited for Nosferatu.
We've actually had a couple of comments from listeners very similar. Yeah. And, you know what I'm really disappointed in this season? The quality of the podcasts. The podcasters nowadays just seem to be getting their podcasts out later and later.
They suck.
I know.
They do suck.
And by the time you actually listen to the podcast, it's like it's time for the next episode.
Well, not only that, all they do is bitch and moan the
exactly.
whole time.
They're the most negative people in the world. I mean, like,
they don't like anything.
Why are you even podcasting if you're so negative all the time?
Oh, my God. Please, for God's sakes, podcasters, be more positive. Sell the show.
I mean, we can only do what we have to work with, you know? Like, makes it
sorry,
difficult.
Sorry, folks. We love the show, but we are not going to be
as they say,
cheerleaders for the show.
You
either.
Cannot polish a turd.
You cannot. Well, you can.
Well, you don't want to.
You know, in over a million years, it might become coal and then a diamond. Yeah. But nonetheless, no.
All right. Yes.
All right. So, speaking
on that note.
So, let's just say, does anybody have a hit for this episode?
I was going to say, speaking on that note, talk about negative. Any hits?
My hit, I still... For all the campiness, for all the silliness that's kind of going on in this, I still like Sarah's character. And
okay,
you know, her one-liners.
No, I do like her. No. I agree with you. I do like her character, but it's not anything I can really feel good
about
the show.
No, there's no real substance to it, but it still makes me laugh. So as I'm watching the show, I'm like, that was good. Like after the walkers start getting chewed up by the plane, and she said, "Soup served. Where's the ladle?"
I actually cracked up a little bit when she admitted the fact that she had knocked down the 30 feet of the fence.
Yes.
I thought that was actually pretty funny.
Yeah. Apologetically, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Oh, what was the other one? She was talking about the six-pack, and she said,
abdominal or...
And you'll
the
find
drinking
neither
kind.
One here.
Yeah, and you'll find neither one here.
That was funny.
Kim?
Yeah.
Oh, are you saying yeah to Sarah? Yeah, you don't know what you're
going
to say.
I have nothing. There are no redeeming qualities in this episode.
Seriously? Nothing at all?
It was the worst episode I have ever seen.
You didn't like Daniel? Charlie?
It all ruined everything else for me. I can't go back. I can't unsee what I saw. The whole time the episode was even... airing. Remember, I was saying, I was like, what the hell are they doing? That's stupid.
Yeah.
I think we were texting back and forth throughout the episode going, what? What's going on?
Yeah.
We didn't even understand what was going on at first, right?
Oh, well, we didn't even talk about the fact of Daniel and the slow gun or slow chase through town.
Yeah.
With the walker
radio. Hello. Right. You put the radio on the ground. And
that was
you
my
keep
miss.
Leave. Oh, that was so stupid. Yeah. So stupid. And why does he even have to do that?
I don't know. It's drive to a part you're not going, throw the radio, and drive out of there.
Well, here's what his thing was. His reasoning was, I didn't realize until I watched it the second time. His reasoning was that he didn't want to leave a herd wandering around out there because it would hurt somebody. So he wanted to kill off the herd, but he didn't have enough ammunition with him to do it. So he was going to bring the herd back to his place where he knew they couldn't get in, and then he was going to pick them off one by one.
Oh, that way. Whatever.
Right. But that was his reasoning. Okay, yeah, I get that. I didn't get that the first time. That's why I was trying to figure out, why is this guy going so damn slow? Outrun the damn things. But that's what the reasoning was. But still, I mean,
they didn't make that very clear.
Yeah, but
no, no.
So he was going to try. He was going to try and lead them there slowly because he was trying to get Charlie to lead to not lead them there quickly.
Well, no. What happens? He was going to lead them back to his warehouse. The problem was is that
Charlie had to get back.
Well, no, not only that, but what's her name had knocked down 30 feet of the fence in the back.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So that killed the plan. That's when he had to lead them away. Mm. That was the idea. But nonetheless, I mean, like you said, Kim, just throw the damn radio down there and drive away.
Yeah,
that was just stupid.
He was he was martyring himself. It seemed like at that point.
Well, and also,
to
I mean, good
help
God,
them,
I mean,
even though he was
the
pissed
guy
at Strand,
like 20 miles. Would he walk like 20 miles before he found the SWAT vehicle? Because he was barely stumbling up to that thing when he got there.
Exactly.
I was just going, God Almighty! I mean, it was just so badly written and so badly acted. Really, at that point. That was pretty silly.
It was.
But, all right, so it's time for me to bring my hit, right?
Yeah.
We're waiting.
Swing batter, swing batter, strikeout.
Nothing.
I got no hits. I will give an honorable mention to Daniel and Charlie.
Okay.
But that is really the only thing I can bring positive out it's of that episode.
Participation ribbon?
Yep, exactly. We'll give him a little trophy.
Well, my miss.
Y'all you're chomping at the bit.
I'm just saying, y'all already know what my miss is. It's the entire
thing. I think everybody knows
thing.
What our misses are at this point.
Yeah, all of it.
I mean,
I think my miss, the primarily what kind of killed this episode for me, which is kind of a consistent thing that they seem to be doing with these episodes, is just the these contrived situations where they create danger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Like one dangerous situation that's supposed to be the crescendo of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
I agree with you totally.
And that was the airplane. Totally. And it was how they got to it was just stupid. They could have written that to actually be, okay, that's fine. And then all of a sudden the walkers are just like completely disintegrating. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, they were just like, boom, boom, boom. And then they show the engine dying. It's like, oh, well, they must all be taken care of now. Now we have no issues.
It's very convenient.
It was way too convenient. Yeah. It was poorly done. Really poorly done. And it was kind of a fun gimmick,
mm-hmm.
but it was just a gimmick in this.
Yeah.
And it was.
Yeah, it would be
a
fun
a
gimmick if it were just part of something
like,
in a better story.
Dawn of the Dead. They have a guy, a walker gets his, a zombie at that point, gets his head cut off by the helicopter.
Yeah.
And it was like, he like stands up too tall and the helicopter blade like takes his head off. And it was like, oh, well, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But here it's like, that's the end all solution is the airplane.
Yeah.
So that's my miss.
My miss is more far reaching to the show. My miss with this is I think this was an episode that's built upon other episodes that are driving in the same way. I don't want this show to jump the shark, but with the amount of interest that they are creating within their characters in this show, it feels like it has jumped the shark. I mean, it feels like we have moved from our central characters, which we found to be somewhat interesting and so forth with Madison and even Strand earlier on, to having these rather fleshless characters that you just can't generate any emotion for right now.
Are you talking about the walkers?
I'm talking
the
about
the fleshless ones.
No. I mean, really, it's hard to generate much emotion for these characters right now. You know what I mean? It feels like it's moved on.
I was going to say, it feels kind of like they gave up.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, okay, A Walking Dead's going away. We're probably not going to last much longer. Or at least we can milk it a little bit longer by bringing some of their characters in for like one last go round or something.
Yeah, and keep and, you know, and it's kind of like, you know what it is? It's kind of like the NBA. They spark interest by opening teams or putting teams in cities that didn't have it before, because that's the only fans that are going to be paying any attention to it are the ones in the cities.
You at least
don't
get
care.
2 or 3 years out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like they keep throwing out new characters because, hey, you'll be interested in that character for a little while. They've had so much potential to do this. I mean, they've with John and June, with Al, and with these other characters, they've had a lot of potential to get that emotion into the story. And we started seeing it last year. We really got behind some of these characters. But this year, they are just dull. The chemistry is terrible.
It makes me wonder if, you know, since we are in the middle of season 5, and most people who watch TV nowadays understand that season 5 is kind of that, like, golden nugget where once you hit season 5, that's a really good season to shut down and to just let it all die off, like Breaking Bad did. And once you go past season 5, you really have to struggle to keep your ratings up. Right. And I wonder if, since we've got a new series coming on board, that this is our siren call, that we are going out so that the new series can come in.
Kim, I wish I felt like it was that planned. I just feel like this is...
I think they're trying. I think they're just missing the mark big time.
Yeah, they just... yeah, exactly. I think that they are missing the creativity that is needed to keep this going. Because I really do. I think they, you know, last season we saw them, you know, we weren't happy about it at the time, but they pretty much regenerated the whole show.
Yeah.
But by the end of the season, they had done such a good job of making interesting characters and so forth that we were on board. But this season, these characters haven't gone any further. I mean, June and John seem like they're still in the same thing they were in last year of discovering each other, you know, and Strand is now, you know, he's the caring guy, which is... That's fine. I don't have a problem with that, but it doesn't seem to have gone anywhere, you know? They're flatlining. They're flatlining with these characters. They're not developing. And Lucy, is just, she's a marshmallow. I mean, there's nothing there.
Well, she needs to die.
With that character, period.
She needs to die.
She really does.
And, right.
Give her gangrene or something.
So they've got a lot of really, really two-dimensional figures or characters, or characters that have not been developed since last season, and they need to develop them. And I'm telling you what, get Goldberg back online, folks. I mean, this writing crew that they've got right now is second rate.
Well, didn't you text me that this had been gimpled? You texted?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's see what our listeners have to say.
Okay.
Yes. That is a good point.
Because we got some good stuff.
I think our listeners are going to be very supportive of this episode.
Totally.
You don't know our listeners.
No.
All right. Case in point, Mark LaVarnway said, "What the hell did I just watch?" The show has been gimpled. He got that one from Scott.
Okay.
Such heavy-handed writing. Instead of everyone jumping in the trucks to run over this handful of walkers, let's start up a couple of prop engines to make chop suey. Stupid. I'm not one for child endangerment, but can we get rid of these dumbass kids, especially the leader? Horrible casting and acting by all. How do I get a job like Skidmark's papa? Shows up at 2 episodes a season to stress the point how much he hates everyone, and then he wanders off again. And that was paraphrased, so by the way.
I think when I read that, when he first posted that, I started laughing, and I wrote on, "Amen, brother." Molly Z at Zeminski 6 said, "Interesting. Where is Daniel going? And what are they going to do with the kids?"
Kill them all.
Where the hell is he going?
We have no idea.
Supposedly,
he said he had to meet with somebody.
He was reminded of something he needed to deal with by what happened in this episode.
Okay. And I think there was some other scenes that AMC released about, am I right about that? I don't, you should probably know about this because you're our news lady.
About what?
That we're giving a little backstory to him, where he's been during this time.
No, I haven't seen
that. Okay, because there was some stuff, I think, that was on AMC that had spoilers.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, really? On it, too.
Well, evidently something happened. I think it has to do with something with the warehouse and the fact that he has some unresolved issue that he has to deal with. So that's where he's gone. He's gone on another Daniel walkabout.
Mm-hmm. All right, and Cash Cooper at Cash Coop on Twitter said, "I thought it was better than most. I'll admit to always watching late at night after I get off work, so my critical thinking is usually turned off."
Cash was stoned, right?
No, I did not say that. His critical thinking was turned off.
Gotcha.
"I liked the scenes with Daniel and Charlie and thought they were a good pairing. But each week, there seems to be dumb stuff written to create drama and put the characters in, quote-unquote, peril."
Exactly.
"They're supposed to be smarter than they're being written."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, Cash nailed it. I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, it's contrived.
Yeah.
The dilemmas are so contrived, it's ridiculous.
Well, how are they surviving this long when they're being this stupid?
We should be excited about trying to find out about these guys from the nuclear plant or the military ones.
I am excited about them.
Yeah, but they
are. But that's not what we're talking about.
I know. There's such a side story. There's such a minimal...
It's such a minimal centralist story.
Yeah.
They're so in the background that it's like,
if they're even going to cover it.
The stupidity part of it is like completely covering that up.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about those guys.
Yeah.
Right.
They're like, someone left a Diet Coke can out there on the set of Game of Thrones or something like that.
Exactly. No, that was a coffee cup, but nonetheless.
No, that was two incidences.
Yes. Starbucks twice. I think it was product placement. But nonetheless, go ahead, Kim.
David Valentin at DV Orlando said, "This show is not showing improvement. At this point, I only watch so I can listen to the podcast, if I can be honest."
Yeah. I told David I am going to tweet the hell out of that one.
Yeah. David.
Retweet.
Love you, buddy. Love you. Let's see here. Chris at CutePoison10 said, "Each time children are introduced, it spoils the show. Exception of older Carl on The Walking Dead. I have children, so I am not against them in real life. I blame the Gimple effect. I do like John and Alicia, though."
And that's Cash's theory is always that, too. The kids always screw stuff up. And I always feel like I have to quantify the fact that Cash does have children. And we have children. This is because
The problem is it's tricky.
Kids typically screw shit up.
They do.
Well, it's tricky to write kids properly into a show. If I think you can introduce a child to a show to produce the effect of fear in a parent. I think that is very effective. But when you make children the characters and stuff like that out there, then it starts looking a little hokey.
They did a really good job with Judith, the new Judith.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
In The Walking Dead.
But because she's a comic foil.
Yeah.
She's funny.
Yeah.
She's hilarious.
And in some way, even though she's a kid, she's a leader.
Yeah.
She is.
All right. So she's not a hindrance.
Yeah, but face it. I mean, the reason why we watch her is because we love to see hear her fire back at people.
Yes,
fire back at adults and stuff like that. It's the fun of watching her challenge them.
Right.
But, outside of that, I'm not so sure. All right. Well, next week on Fear of the Walking Dead, season 5, episode 5, the end of everything. Ooh, that sounds
ominous.
Yeah.
I think you just said that in your description of what they're doing to the show.
It is.
It's very ominous. Althea chases a story with dogged determination, putting the mission and her life in danger. Yes. So in other words, we have an Althea episode coming up.
I'm actually very interested to see what's going on in the next episode.
Yes.
No matter how disappointing this past episode was, I think time to move on and go to the next one. And
that's what I was going
to
say.
Yeah, it's getting to the heart of what's going on with these other people, which is connecting back to The Walking Dead, possibly. So, yeah, it should be pretty interesting.
It's like a bad egg sandwich. It was really horrible and painful at the time. But we're just going to put that in the past, not think about it anymore.
Yeah, but bad egg sandwiches tend to linger.
Yeah.
We're going to hope it doesn't.
They can be the gift that can keep on giving.
But that's past us. You know, we've had several days of recovery. Hmm. And now we're going to go into the beautiful fruit salad. And it's going
to
be amazing.
I tend to think it was more like
some weird picnic right now?
I'm going to say maybe it was like Ghostbusters 2 and we've decided to move on. Mm.
I was going to say when you get something in your gas tank, where it's just like when you're hitting the pedal and all of a sudden the engine's just not going. You're just hoping it clears itself out and it's going to keep moving on.
That happened in the shower
the
other night.
Backfire and move on.
Tried to turn the shower lever on. And it wouldn't turn on.
We're all over the place right now.
The shower.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden this big, huge thing of like black mold came shooting
out of the shower? Why didn't you say
something? Of the nozzle. And then the shower turned on.
What the hell was that?
It was gunk.
That sounds like something out of Stranger Things.
And then you just, move on and you don't ask questions.
Too much information.
Move on and don't ask questions. We're just going to take our shower and pretend like it never happened.
Did a red balloon come out of the sink?
Nope.
We all float
down here, Reggie. Beep,
beep. That's just wrong. Thanks for the glob story, Kim.
You're welcome.
That's a great way to end a podcast.
Did you use it like a loofah and scrub with it?
I did not. I pretended like it never happened.
Did it have bones?
Because at first I thought it was a roach coming out, and I was like about to freak out and pee my pants. But
no, a glob is much better.
Just a glob.
You're about to pee the pants you did not actually have on at that point.
Correct.
And a glob of whatever that was is so much better than a roach.
It sounds like this whole scene was in black and white.
Oh my God.
Oh, good times.
Images that will linger.
Good times. All right.
Wow.
Let's wrap this up.
Please. I need to call a plumber is what we had. We gotta wrap this up.
You could write to us and share your own glob story.
Exactly.
At fearmepodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @fearmepodcast and Facebook @facebook.com/fearmepodcast. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.